This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وبعد Brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Previous lessons, we just finished with the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and now I want to carry on from there. After the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so you can imagine, you know, the state the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were in. This was the greatest of creation sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This was their beloved. This was our beloved, but this was their beloved in the sense that they had seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was nothing more beloved to them than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away. He's not buried as yet. And then a few issues arise. Now, one of the issues which arose was that the Ansar, they gathered in a place called Saqifa Bani Sa'idah. It was a hall of the Bani Sa'idah. Now, actually, the place where the Saqifa is actually still exists. For those who have been for Umrah, it's where you have the Moving Pick Hotel, the last one. In front of there, there's a road. And on that road, there is a garden. It opens in the morning every day. That is the Saqifa. That's where the Saqifa used to be in the time of the Sahaba, Ridwanullah Ajma'in. And that is the place where they actually gathered. Obviously, it's one of the few places which still exists. So they've gathered there to appoint a leader from amongst them. Now, you can imagine, looking from the outside, what does this seem like? This seems like that these people didn't even care about the Prophet ﷺ. The Messenger of Allah has not been buried, and they are concerned about choosing a leader. All they want is leadership. Now, this is an allegation which has been laid upon the Sahaba, the Ansar, Ridwanullah Ajma'in, from the Orientalists and some other brethren. Now, I will deal with this. Let me put a few usools down to actually understand this. Look, sometimes you have a calamity, but you have to still carry on with life. And you have to do those things which are an obligation, although the calamity still lurks over your head. This is exactly what the Ansar were doing. Now, let me tell you why. Look, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away, and there are already tribes who are thinking about attacking Medina. So there's two tribes, large tribes, who live on the outskirts of Medina, not very far from Medina, called Abs and Dhibyan. Now, Abs and Dhibyan are now preparing an army to attack Medina. Why? Although they had embraced Islam, but they had newly embraced Islam. They didn't know much about Islam. So, but they thought they whoever takes Medina will be the leader of the Muslims. So now what they've decided is that they are going to attack Medina. Besides that, the Prophet ﷺ had prepared an army, which we will discuss later on, to go and fight the Romans. Because the Messenger of Allah was concerned that the Romans will attack Medina. So he's prepared this army. On the other hand, you have the Munafiqeen. And within the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ, a large proportion of the people who professed to be Muslims in Medina were actually Munafiqeen. Then you also had the Jews of Medina, who the Muslims had a treaty with. Now, you've got the Prophet ﷺ passed away. There's a possibility that Abs and Zubyan will attack Medina, but the Muslims don't have a leader. If the Muslims don't have a leader, then there's a possibility that they will be attacked and they will be have no unity amongst them. The other possibility is also that the Romans will attack Medina, and the Muslims will not have leadership. The other possibility is that what if the Munafiqeen decided, okay, we're going to choose a leader from amongst us. Who would be able to stop them? If you have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away, and you're concerned with the burial of the Prophet ﷺ, which is obviously understandable. But on the other hand, why have the Munafiqeen took the opportunity and chose a leader from amongst them? And the other possibility was, which happened many times in the past in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, that the Jews of Medina might break their treaty with the Muslims and attack the Muslims from within Medina. So you have all these, you know, possibilities. So now you understand why the Ansar were so concerned, that obviously they were mourning, but they also understood that there was an obligation for them now to choose a leader because of the possibility that they may be attacked. Do you understand? One principle. Second principle, that often it's claimed that the Ansar didn't really care about Islam, they just wanted leadership, and this is the biggest dalil upon this. Now understand this. Look, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, and the Ansar believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They gave bayah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they took iman upon the hands of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now what's happened? The Messenger of Allah has passed away. Who did they give bayah upon the hands of? The Messenger of Allah. Who do they regard as the Nabi? The Messenger of Allah. Did they regard Umar or Abu Bakr as a Nabi? No. Did they bring Abu Bakr or Umar into Medina as a leader? No. They brought the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the Messenger of Allah has passed away. Now any society in the world would naturally revert to their old traditions, their old way of electing a leader. Why choose Abu Bakr? When Medina is whose city? Medina is the city of the Ansar. The Ansar are the majority. They have no obligation in choosing Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Naturally, they will choose from one from amongst them. Look, how long had it been that the Ansar, that migrants had come to Medina? 10 years top end. 10 years top end. Now, tell me one society in the world will say, okay, we hand our leadership over to a migrants who have been here for no more than 10 years, who are the minority, who are the very people who actually we gave refuge. Nobody would. So you understand now where actually the Ansar were coming from. Okay. Another point. The focal point of Islam at that time was Medina. Medina was the Darul Islam. Medina was the place of Islam. Now, who is more accustomed to knowing, you know, what Medina is about? The customs of Medina, the traditions of Medina, the Ansar. So naturally, you would expect that the Ansar would become would have the greatest rights of becoming the leaders. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived in Mecca for how long? Who could tell me? 13 years. Okay? 13 years he lived in Mecca. In his 13 years of dawah, only a handful of the muhajirun embraced Islam. Sahih? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the close areas, Ta'if. They drove the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam out. They humiliated the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The mushrikeen would come for Hajj. So the vast majority of the tribes of the mushrikeen would come for Hajj. How many of them embraced? Very few. Who accepted the dawah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It was the Ansar. They came for Hajj, they gave bayah, they came the next year, they gave bayah, they gave refuge to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, why should the Ansar give up their status when they were the ones who gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refuge? When they were the ones who first embraced Islam? How long had it been now that the people of Makkah embraced Islam? Only 3 years. Do you understand? Only 3 years. So why should they give up Medina to a group of people who actually never made the state? It was the people of Medina who made the state. Okay, now that's the other thing. The other concern, possible concern that the Muhajirun had was that if one of the, sorry, the Ansar had, is that if one of the Ansar and Muhajirun were given leadership, then it's a strong possibility that they would go back to Mecca. Their family was in Mecca. That's where they came from. Salah in Mecca was 100,000 times the reward of a normal Salah. Even if you remember at the Battle of Hunain, the Ansar said, looks like the message of Allah is going back to his own people. So obviously they thought, if they made a person from the Muhajirun the leader, then he would take the Caliphate back to Mecca. And this was something which the Muhajirun, the Ansar really did not want to happen. And this is why that they, one of the reasons that they had all these concerns. This was one reason, they had other reasons. They had these concerns that if they make a person from the Muhajirun their leaders, then all one of the any of these things is possible. The other thing, look, the people who assisted the Messenger of Allah the most were the Ansar. In doing so, they made many enemies. Many of the people of Quraysh were killed at the hands of the Ansar. Now, it depended who became the next leader. So, for instance, if a leader was chosen who really was not concerned about the Ansar, then it's a possibility that the people of Quraysh would have an opportunity to take revenge from the people of Ansar. Now, this was a concern for them. Not only that, there was another concern that they had, is that many of the Arab tribes now dislike the Ansar. Why did they dislike the Ansar? Well, the simple reason was that they assisted the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they fought. And they fought against other tribes. See, so now over the years they had accumulated all these enemies. Now, if they gave leadership over to the Muhajirun and that leader of the Muhajirun was not so concerned about them like the Messenger of Allah was concerned, then people could take revenge. You know, they could be quashed, they would be attacked. So if you now understand what was going through the mind of the Ansar, then it's a lot easier to understand what, you know, how the Ansar were thinking. But if you just look at one dimension and you have this kind of su'udhan, you know, this bad perception of the Ansar, oh, the Ansar only wanted leadership. It wasn't leadership. It was all these things that they were taking into consideration, that any one of these things could possibly happen. And this is why they gathered in the Saqifah Bani Sa'idah to choose a leader from amongst them. Now, there's one possibility one can say, okay, they did that. Why did they not inform the Muhajirun? They should have informed the Muhajirun. And that's a valid point. But maybe they didn't inform the Muhajirun because they felt, due to all the above, that they were the rightful heirs to the Caliphate. So there was no need for them to inform the Muhajirun. Also, maybe they felt that it would cause a greater fitna if they told the Muhajirun. So just leave it, let's get on with it, you know, we'll deal with it later on. And the third reason possibly is the fact that they felt that the Muhajirun were busy with the burial of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were all from the Quraysh, you know, they were the family, and then the Quraysh, leave them to it, we'll deal with this. So these are the possibilities, but maybe they should have informed the Muhajirun. Now, where are the Muhajirun? The Muhajirun are with the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they're with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar and the other Muhajirun. And a group of people come to them and they say to them, we need to speak to you. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, we're busy, go away, we're dealing with the burial of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the person says, listen, you better listen to us. There's something going on in Saqifah Bani Sa'idah and it can actually lead to a civil war. So Umar asked what? So he told him. So then Umar went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he told Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Now, subhanAllah, when you're in the haram, you can actually envisage this. You know, you got the masjid, And then you got the house of Aisha, and you got the Saqifa Bani Sa'id. It's only about 5-6 minutes walk. And you can actually envisage Abu Bakr and Umar now walking toward the Saqifa Bani Sa'id from the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. And then on the way, they meet Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu. And they inform Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, and then they go all together. So they reach the Saqifa Bani Sa'idah, and when they reach the Saqifa Bani Sa'idah, they see that the Ansar are discussing, and there's a man wrapped up. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, I didn't recognize this man. He asked, who is this man? They said, it's Sa'd ibn Ubadah. Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu was one of the leaders of the Ansar. And because he was unwell, he was wrapped up in a sheet. So now, one of the Ansar stands up and he begins to give a talk. He says, firstly, and he's indirectly kind of speaking to the Muhajirun possibility, you know, Abu Bakr and Umar and Abu Ubaidah. He said, look, we are many, you are few. We are many, you are few. And it is our right for us, so that leader is chosen from amongst us. And in all honesty, you can understand that from all the above reasons that, you know, the way they were thinking, that they have the right, that the leader is the next leader is from amongst them. And then he goes on to say, he says that you do not have the right to take this right from amongst us. Okay? Then he starts speaking to the Ansar. Now he starts speaking to Ansar. He says, Ansar, you have many virtues which no one else has. Without doubt, the Prophet ﷺ said, if it was not for the Hijrah, I would have been banned from the Ansar. He said, the Messenger of Allah gave da'wah in Mecca, but very few people embraced. And then the Messenger of Allah came to Medina, and you, the Ansar, protected the deen, you did jihad, and all the others bowed down to the deen because of you, because of your efforts. Then the Messenger of Allah passed away, and he was happy with you. And you were the coolness of his eyes, and nobody else besides you deserved the Khalifa. So now he's given this talk. Okay. So Umar radiallahu anhu is sitting there. Umar is Umar. Umar says, I wanted to respond. He said, I had prepared something which I thought would be a really good response. He said, I was just about to start, and Abu Bakr said, calm down, Umar. Let me speak. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu began to speak. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he really beautifully puts it. He says to the Ansar, he says, Ansar, whatever that you have said, actually you are more than that. You know, what you have said, your virtues, the reality is you are more than that. And then he reminded them that the message of Allah said that if the entirety of humanity walked down one path and the Ansar walked down another path, I would walk down the path of the Ansar. So he mentioned all these virtues regarding them, but he says, then he addresses Sa'd, who was their leader. He says, oh Sa'd, you were there when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that leadership would only stay in Quraysh, and you, the Ansar, will be their ministers and their advisors. So he directly speaks to Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says that the people will accept nobody regarding this matter, regarding the leaderships, besides the people of Quraysh, because they are the best in lineage. See, the Quraysh were not only regarded the best in lineage, they were regarded from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but not only that, they were regarded also as the custodians of the Kaaba. So because of all these virtues, they had virtue before. And now with the advent of the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know that those virtues went out the roof. So nobody would accept anybody besides the Quraysh. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he consoled the Ansar. He said, look Ansar, let me tell you something, that we will do nothing without consulting you. You know, so you know he puts their mind at ease. Don't you think that we will not consult you? You will be with us like you were in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then a Sahabi radiallahu anhu called Hubab bin Munzir. And Hubab bin Munzir radiallahu anhu says, okay, I have a suggestion. One leader from us, one leader from you. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, you know that the people will not accept that. Two leaders. Now, Hubab ibn Munzir radiallahu anhu says something really interesting. He says that the reason I said this was because we had many, many battles with the people of Quraysh when they were in the time of Shirk. And my concern was that if leadership was only amongst them, then they may have an opportunity to take revenge. And this is why I said, one leader from you, one leader from us. And then, when this is kind of, Ansar have kind of calmed down, and then Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu anhu says, I got my opportunity, and I said, let me ask you, Ansar, one question. Is there anyone amongst you who's mentioned in the Quran besides Abu Bakr as a Sahabi? Is Yaqulu li sahibihi la tahzan? They said, no. So is there anybody amongst you who had the honor of being with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the ghar, in the cave? They said, no. He said, then which one of you wants to supersede Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu as the Caliph? And another narration, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, let me also remind you, who did the Messenger of Allah choose for the Salah? Who did he choose? The Messenger of Allah chose Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and inshallah we'll discuss this in more detail later on. He chose Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Then, what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu does, because he didn't want the Caliph really himself, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu grabs the hands of Umar, and he grabs the hands of Abu Baidah. And he says, give Bayah, he lifts him up like this, and he says, give Bayah to one of these two. You have the Amin of this Ummah, you have Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Umar says, you know, everything I wanted to say, because he had prepared in his mind what he wanted to say. He said, everything I wanted to say, Abu Bakr said all that, but in a far more articulate way. He said, I loved everything he said until he reached this point, when he said, choose Abu Bakr, choose Umar, or choose Abu Baida as the Caliph. And then he says, by Allah, it would be easier for my head to be removed from my body than to be a leader under which Abu Bakr is beneath me. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is beneath me. And then Umar radiallahu anhu gave bayah to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Then one of the Ansar gave bayah to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then all of the Ansar gave bayah to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So basically, this is the first bayah in the Saqifah Bani Sa'ida. This was the way that the dispute was quashed. That the Ansar gave bayah to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Now, imagine this, subhanallah. Look at all the reasons I pointed out why the Ansar possibly believed that they should have leadership, yes? And all of them are valid. But look at how amazing, wallahi, the Ansar were. In one gathering, they gave up leadership. This is a credit to Ansar. The Ansar were the majority in number. But they gave up leadership. And this is why, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he praises the Ansar, he says, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّعَ دَارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. And for those who before had homes and iman, يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ حَاجَرَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صَدُورِهِمْ حَاجَ مِمَّا أُوتُوا. He said that they love those who have migrated towards them. And they do not find in their hearts anything, any malice, any hate for what they have been given, the bounties. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسْهِمْ خَصَاصَةً وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. And they give preference to them over themselves, even if they are in difficulty themselves. Look at the virtues. So what's the first virtue? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the fact that iman. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they love those who have come to them. and they don't find any malice in their hearts. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they give preference to them over themselves. Okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right at the end of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, right at the end of the verse, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. These are the successful ones. So these were the Ansar. So you can see how this verse fits into the Saqifah Bani Sa'idah, that when it was a time came, they actually gave them preference over themselves. Why? Because their lives are a testimony to this verse. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the status of the Sahaba radhwanullahi ajma'in, the Ansar and the Muhajirun, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to follow their way. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khairan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jazakumullah khairan for watching, and please do not forget to watch the next episode, and inshallah with your du'as there will be plenty more history series coming very soon. Barakallahu feekum, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.